This episode is brought to you by Stay Roasted, the ultimate fresh roasted coffee subscription. Get your first bag of coffee for free. You only pay shipping when you visit stayroasted.com/stream. That's stayroasted.com/stream. Coming up on TMS, I found the beasts.
Panda is homesick.
Sure is. What can I get for a boiled egg?
Will my toe work?
No. Oh. Pay what you want.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
We seem to be experimenting some technological differences.
Now, why in the hell would you let them do a sick thing like that?
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
This is The Morning Stream. Behave yourselves.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream, the last one before the American holiday of Thanksgiving. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Nibbett. Hi, Brian Nibbett.
Hello, Scott Johnson.
Hey, it's Wednesday.
Those Canadians have a Thanksgiving too, but they did it like a month ago, in October.
October, like weirdos.
Yeah.
What's their deal? How come they do that then? I don't get it.
They're thankful they're not in America.
I guess.
You just do it early.
They probably are right now. I guess they had their prime minister to complain about already. It's not Trudeau, but the guy before him, that was. They didn't like him. So I guess they don't, you know, they're no strangers to this sort of thing.
He wasn't nearly as handsome as Trudeau.
No, Trudeau is a real dreamy guy, isn't he? He walks out on camera and I go, thumpity bump bump. You know what I'm saying there, Brian? Hey, it's the 23rd of November, 2016. That means tomorrow's Turkey Day, and I'm super stoked about it. We're going to eat and be lazy and maybe play a little football in the morning. I don't know. Haven't decided.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, that'll be good. Oh, hey, that Nicolas Cage clip you played from...
this one here?
Now, why in the hell would you let them do a sick thing like that?
That's the one.
All right. That brings... You remember how we used to do a thing of the day, like something that we just hated?
Yeah.
Can I say how much I hate the phrase, why in the hell or what in the hell?
Oh, really? I'm going to have to be careful in the future then for...
you don't do it, do you?
I don't think so. Do I?
It's the whole addition of the word in. It seems like such a...
Why in the hell? Yeah, that's a good
hell?
Point.
Why the hell did you do that?
That's like saying, why in the mall did you... Yeah, it's a location... And it's wrong. I agree with you. It's totally wrong usage. It should be, why the hell?
Or why in hell? You could do either one, but you don't need both.
Yeah, you don't need why in the hell. Yeah, right. I totally agree.
Why in hell would you do that? Or why the hell would you do that? Either one works, but why in the hell? Why not throw some more... some more of those little words in there as well. Some more of those, what are those called? Prepositions.
No, prepositions? Conjunctions. What's your function?
Those are and.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
It's only a bill.
And of and all, get your job done.
I'm only a bill.
Yeah, so throw in an is, am, are, was, were, being, okay. been, has, was, all those. And I used to be able to remember all those. Do you remember having to memorize all those?
Yeah, I did remember that. We had a song you had to do.
It was
like
really? We didn't have a song. We just had is, am, are, was, were, be, being,
it
been.
It was like, if you got the had, was, do, whiz, do. And the biz are, did, be, do. Something like that. and then, hey, what was I going to say about that? Oh, yeah, because you're never going to say, why in the Chick-fil-A are you doing this?
Right.
You're going to say, why in Chick-fil-A are you doing this? See?
Right.
It works. It totally works.
It totally works. All right. So stop that. Everybody, we've had some problems this year. Mm-hmm. We didn't, as a nation, maybe we didn't all see eye to eye, and mm-hmm. we lost some great musicians and actors and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just... January 1st, 2017, kind of scrub all that grunge off of us and start fresh. And one of the things we'll start fresh with is proper use of vocabulary. Thank you very much.
Yep. Better speaking, family.
And a caveman.
And no Lieutenant Yar.
All right. Hey, saw Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them last night.
Yeah.
Saw it at midnight. I got home at like 12:30, because we couldn't get any other showing to get this fancy seats until 10 p.m. So,
oh wow, yeah. Did you stay awake?
Yeah, we did. I was fine. Okay. Right. The kid, Nick,
you're getting those comfy chairs, and
yeah, that's good. That's kind of the bad thing about those, right? Because if you're tired, you're gonna get real comfy real quick, and you're gonna start to nod off. And Nick got a little poopy over there. I could tell he was getting tired. But me and Carter and Nick and Kim all went and went with some neighbor friends, and we all had luxury seats, and the movie was real good. I really liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. It's very much carries on the grand tradition of these Harry Peter movies.
It does.
It felt like one. I'll tell you two things that bug me. You ready for these?
Okay, yep.
I don't like the reveal at the end for a certain actor there. Don't really need any more of him in my life right now.
He's kind of, just because of the crap that he's been going through lately, it's kind of a, we don't need him right now.
Kind of a bummer. Just give that some space. Yeah. Also, maybe get him on the treadmill. He's not quite in his fighting
shape. Well, he's like 70.
Second of all, I love whatever it is about Eddie Redmayne, I love it. He's fascinating to watch. You can't take your eyes off of him. He's super interesting. But you can't hear or understand 82% of what he says. So
he's a little bit of a mumbler with a strong accent. And
yeah, yeah. So stuff was... I'm usually real good with the accents. Like, for whatever reason, people are like, no, what did he say? And I can totally tell in movies or in groups of people. Maybe it's because I grew up with heavy accented Korean siblings, and that made it, I don't know, maybe I got good at listening for the nuances or something. But for whatever reason, Eddie Redmayne would say things in this movie. I'm like, what did he say? What was that exactly? Where did he go? Who's he talking to now? Like, that happened a lot. But other than that, cool movie, man.
Yeah, really, really good. Yeah. So well done, and has all the right things that you need for a Harry Potter world movie.
Yeah, and there's some pretty gnarly deaths in there. Like,
yeah, they some nice connections though. Like, you know, the little hidden ones that they just slide in there. Like, oh, you know, I won't reveal any. But there are some nice little connections that make you think, oh, okay, yeah, just a little reminder. This is in the Harry Potter universe.
And, yeah, how about like I'll do the translation of the French word that they use for a name.
Okay.
The Strange.
Yes, that won't give anything away.
Yeah, and there's other things. I want to see 1925 or whatever the year is. What's the year? It's like 1930, whatever it is. I don't know what year it is then during this movie, but
1926 or something.
Something like that. I want to see Albus Dumbledore in that year. I want to see him.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he's there. He's still teaching down there at the Hogwarts there.
Now, Danny in the chat room suggested this, and I don't know why. This is the first I'm hearing of it, but I'm so 100% on board with it. Eddie Redmayne for the next Doctor. For the next Doctor Who Doctor.
He'd be perfect.
He would be perfect.
In every possible way. Yep.
Yes. Now, I love Peter Capaldi. I'm not in any hurry for Peter Capaldi to stop, because I feel like he brings something very different to Doctor Who than Matt Smith or Tennant or Eccleston or any of them. Mm-hmm. But when he's done, when Capaldi says, all right, I'm ready to hang up the cloak and the sunglasses and the electric guitar, then I'm then I'm all on board for Eddie Redmayne.
I'm going to put it out there that Eddie Redmayne probably will not come down from his Oscar space to be a TV Doctor Who. However, if they ever made another film adaptation of Doctor Who, he's your man. Mm-hmm. He's your man. But he won't do TV. There's no.
I don't know. You know, they worship Doctor Who way more over there in the UK. I mean, they don't see it as like a, oh, you're going to be on the Jeffersons? That's great. What a step down from your work as Stephen Hawking.
That's true. But I wondered about that. And I asked Terpster that not long ago. Now, this is just one guy.
Okay.
This is just one guy over there.
Did he say it was brilliant?
He said that it's okay, but people over there don't really care for it. They prefer Star Trek and Star Wars.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I wonder if it is one of those things where, you know, we all thought Bob and Doug McKenzie were the funniest things ever, but Canadians were irritated by it.
Crocodile Dundee is probably the best example.
Yeah, Yeah, Paul Hogan. Like,
right. Like, oh my gosh, you guys must just love Paul Hogan down there in Australia.
So that's my big question.
Kind of a dick.
That's my question. Is Doctor Who the Paul Hogan of I mean, you Europeans who listen to the show, you'll have to let us know. I don't know. I have to imagine it's not nearly that bad.
Right.
But you might, but there might be some of that, like, okay, yeah, we get it, Doctor Who.
Yeah, it was, you know.
Yeah.
I wonder what American show equivalent. Like, is Doctor Who
good question.
Their Friends or their CSI or their, you know, like what, or just flat out, you know, their Star Trek. Like, all right, yeah, you know, it's the equivalent of your Star Trek. We love it, but it's not, you know, it's not a national property, national treasure.
Right. I wonder about that. I don't know. Like, I feel like we're that way about certain anime things, and Japan's like, what are you doing? We're like, we love it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, some of that stuff happens, I think. I don't know. It's hard to say, but when it's homegrown and then exported, often the impression is different. But I like
And
the
Danny
movie.
Also points out, by the way, Peter Capaldi also won an Oscar.
Oh, he did.
Ooh. Yeah, he wrote and directed a live action short of It's a Wonderful Life, really, in 1995. Is that correct?
Oh, well, 95.
Oh, Franz Kafka's It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, how many years ago? 95? See, that's enough time for your career to go nowhere, and then you do TV.
There we go. So look forward to Eddie Redmayne, the 17th Doctor.
Yep. Coming soon, 20 years from now. Watch for that.
Right.
I also dump popcorn everywhere in the luxury space.
Nice.
And not just like, oops, a little spilled on the ground and no one watched. Like one of those exaggerated like comedy things where I lost my footing and I started shaking the barrel of it and it just went flying in the air everywhere. So that happened.
During the film or before?
Before, on our way in there.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. I wrote here that Kim might want a more grown-up husband. She probably does at this point. Also, I have a question. Who closes a bathroom after a showing? And I don't care how late it is. We leave the thing. When you're done, you've been drinking like Diet Coke the whole time. You've got to pee, dude. You're freaking out
to
pee.
They're small is practically wash tub size.
Yes. And your bladder's going, help me. So you just need to go pee. Nick and I and Carter were all just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to pee out of my ears if I don't pee soon.
Right.
So we go out to the thing to go to the room. And there's a big giant women's room closed. We're like, oh, well, good thing for Nick and I, the men's room isn't. We go around to that, and there's a giant cart in the way that the cleaner people put in front of it. Who does that right after a showing?
Yeah. People who don't care. People who suck.
I'm just going to pee all over the floor next time. Take that, movie theater that I like and usually go to. I'm going to pee on your floor.
Pee on those luxury seats.
How'd your butternut squash go? You made it.
Oh, yeah, dude. So I made this. So we talked about this last week, this recipe that I found where you take a butternut squash and you cook it, get it soft, carve out all the stuff inside, and then you mix it like mashed potatoes, put it back in the shell, and then rebake it like a twice-baked potato.
I have a quote of what you originally said. Would you like to hear it? This is what you said the other day. Here you go.
You cut this baby in half. You bake it so the stuff inside gets nice and soft.
You actually talked about cutting a baby in half.
Oh, see, that's why I was getting all that email, all that negative, you know, those bad things that people were saying about me. No, I was talking about a butternut squash, people.
You know, those pro-baby people that were giving you a hard time. Anyway.
Those pro-baby people.
Yeah, I'm pro-baby.
Oh, the baby lobbyists, man. You know, you can't go anywhere in this country without offending Big Baby.
I know. Big Baby's the worst. Oh, they've got their claws into every congressman, those big babies.
Anyway. So it's in the fridge right now. So it's done all the way up to the point where all I have to do is just put it in the oven for about 20 minutes on Thursday, throw it out on the table, top it with some Parmesan cream, some whipped Parmesan cream, and boom. Boom, we're done.
Tell me about whipped Parmesan cream.
All right, so you know at the store you get your Cool Whip, right?
Yeah.
And your Ready Whip, and those are like sweetened whipped cream, right?
Right. Love those, by the way.
You know, also in that section they have, or in the dairy section, next to the milk and the eggnog, you've also got the little cartons of whipping cream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen that.
That's unsweetened.
Yeah, they're so very. It's almost like they have no flavor at all. It's like just fluff.
It's like almost like half and half, but it's whole instead of half and half.
Yeah.
It's unsweetened. So you take your Parmesan cheese, you grate your Parmesan cheese right into that. You cook it on the stove for about, just until it's about to simmer, and you stir it constantly so it doesn't scald. And then you whip that and you've got like a Parmesan whipped cream that is, you put that crap on anything.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I want some of this.
It's overwhelming.
I agree.
It is overwhelming.
Wow. All right. I'm a little surprised you did it ahead of the, was this a test for Thursday? Was that the
deal? No, this is because I know that Thursday with everything else that that we're cooking for Thanksgiving, and by we I do mean Tina, she basically closes off the kitchen to everybody on Thursday, and we've all kind of got to fend for ourselves. But you know, turkey and mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes and with the marshmallows and the corn and whatever, you know, all that stuff, stuffing, gravy. It's like, you know, she's basically, the last thing she needs is me in there. And let me tell you that actually, if I would have actually read the entire recipe before I made it, I probably could have saved myself maybe about an hour, because I read the first part, which is cut the butternut squash in half and put it in an oven 400 degrees for an hour and hour and a half so that it gets soft and scoopable. Okay, great. Did that. Yeah. Then went and sat down with Tina and watched some quality television entertainment.
Okay.
Then came back and got the stuff out of the oven and then read the next thing. While that's cooking or while that's baking, it's like, oh yeah, that would have been good.
It's like those movies where it says cut the green wire, but before that,
right. Unless there's a red wire, it's like keep calm and nobody explodes or something like that.
Yeah, what is that? That's a MASH episode did that. Remember they had a bomb right there in camp, and Hawkeye and not Honeycutt, was the dude, Trapper, are out there trying to unwire or stop this bomb from blowing up, and he's got Henry Blake over there behind a bunch of things. He's going, all right, cut the red wire. And they cut it. He goes, but before that, and they're like, oh shit. And they ran. Right.
And so they just had to run. And
then it turned out to be like propaganda paper or something.
That's what it was. Yeah. Yes.
Ah, there's my memory working for me. Anyway.
Well done. Yeah. Well done, sir.
Thank you so much. Well, that's good. Souffle, complete and well made. Or butternut squash. Why did I say
butternut
souffle?
Squash? Twice baked butternut squash. Yeah. And people on Twitter, after I talked about it on the show, people on Twitter were asking for that recipe and the email and stuff. So I sent it out. One person already cooked and ate and said it was fantastic.
Oh, good. So, you've already got a taker then. That's fantastic.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Well, today's going to be interesting. Oh, sorry. Dave will kill me if I don't remind everyone of this.
Oh, yeah.
So as usual, everyone knows Friday's like a big deal. We got big, big deals to be had all over the place because it's the biggest shopping day of the year.
Big shopping deals.
Well, if you want to do something from the comfort of your own home and get something kind of rad, how about going on over to thefrogpants.com/store/place? That's the place. Website, I guess, is what that is. It's good. You want to go over there starting tomorrow, actually. So that would be Thursday. You can actually start on Thanksgiving. If you use the code GOBBLEGOBBLE, that's all one word, GOBBLE, twice gobble together, GOBBLEGOBBLE, and get 15% off any print. There are other sales on items like mugs, books, and other stuff through the weekend. That'll all be on the front page. But any prints on thefrogpants.com/store, you can get for 15% off by using GOBBLEGOBBLE. Nice. All weekend long.
You don't have a audio clip of Edie McClurg saying that, do you? From
I might.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
I might. Let's find out if I kept that one. I bet I don't. Hold on. Aww. Gobble. Nope, I don't.
Oh, bummer.
I know.
That was like the best.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble.
She was kind of the best. What hath I done?
May have to watch that tonight. We'll have to see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is the time.
Yeah.
Now is the place.
Now is the... exactly.
Today,
the winter of our discontent.
Today, Daryl's with a special friend, so because of that.
no, I think that's Friday's with a special friend.
Oh, all right. So because of that, we have to have a different person do his spot today, and it's going to be Brian Dunaway, which I'm excited about.
I am too.
Yeah, we're stoked. We're gonna add. Oh my gosh, what that sounds! A horrible sound. You hear that?
I do.
Meh, meh. Oh, there we go. Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is Paul. How are you doing?
Hey, Paul. Good. Hey, Paul. How are you, sir?
Doing well, thanks. Major Dumperoo at your service.
Ah, oh, cool. Major Dumperoo. Where do you hail from? I don't know that I've ever asked you that. Maybe I have.
Florida.
Sweet. We got Florida Man on the phone, Brian. Florida Man.
Which part of Florida?
Yeah, which part of Florida?
Bonita Springs, which is down in Southwest Florida.
Oh, lovely! Okay. Cool. Very nice.
Very nice. Down on the down on the Tampa side of things, on the Bradenton and.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a little bit south of Tampa. Yeah.
Yeah, far away from those dirty spring breakers. I like that. Actually, they're hard to avoid no matter where you go.
They're mostly on the east side. They're mostly on the Fort Lauderdale and.
Sure. We have on the phone with us a special guest also. His name is Brian Dunaway, and he's with us now. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi. How are you, Scott?
Listen
Brian?
To that. Man, if Daryl sounded like you every day, we'd freaking give him a medal or something.
He'd actually get paid.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm aiming for Daryl's job. Ah. Go visit your friend if you must, but I will steal your job.
Already a done deal. Count yourself in. We're all set.
And South Carolina is coming in and taking our jobs.
The episode, Star Trek Season 1, Episode 2, where they did the thing with the the tribbles. And
well done.
Kirk got caught in his pants. Remember that?
Yep, you've won early. Well done. Show's over. Good night, everybody. All right. Hey, I'm going to play this here theme, and we're going to have some fun. This is still Daryl's voice, but whatever.
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
You know, I really could have done a special theme for Brian, but it was very last second. It is Stump Dunaway, and it's brought to you by...
brought to you by Core. Tell us, Scott, what's happening on Core?
Well, last night we had an episode. It was real good. People should download it. Bo Schwartz, one of my co-hosts on the show, does this really fun game called Nexeperty. It's basically the Nexus version of Jeopardy. And we do this every couple of weeks, and it's really, really fun, rather hilarious, and absolutely worth your time. That plus all the Heroes of the Storm news you can stand. So go check it out at frogpants.com/core or heroesforyou.com. Hey, Daryl. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Scott.
It's going to be hard to remember who's on the phone because we do this every
Just
day with
call
Daryl.
Me Daryl, I don't care.
If only our contestant was named Brian, then it'd be really easy.
Yep. Of course, you know, everyone knows Brian. I always just assume they know him from forever back with ELR and, of course, FilmSac and millions of other things we've done together. But for those who are maybe new to the Dunaway train, get on board, because you're about to get the ride of your life.
Choo-choo.
That's right. Major Dumperoo on the line. He's going to be a part of this as well. And Brian's going to explain the rules and how it works, and we'll go from there. Brian, what do you
got? That's right. So, Major Dumperoo, here's what's going to happen. We're going to ask Brian Dunaway a trivia question. He's going to answer that question, the answer to which is going to be a number. Then we're going to turn to you, because Brian Dunaway is probably going to get it wrong. I don't know. It's an untested, it's a brand new thing here. We have no idea, but let's just say we think Brian Dunaway is going to get it wrong. What we're going to do then is ask you whether the real answer is higher or lower than Brian Dunaway's answer. If you are correct with your guess today, courtesy of D8UV in the chat room, great listener, and the guy who won that awesome World of Warcraft or Blizzard soundtrack thing.
Oh yeah,
a couple weeks ago, that deluxe box set deal. Yeah. Courtesy of him, a $60 Amazon gift card.
Good lord.
Courtesy of D8UV.
Yeah,
use that to go buy one of them new NES classic console things.
Yeah, and, if you can get one. Jeez
Louise.
If you
can get one.
Yeah.
And if you can get one, by the way, find one for me and Scott, please.
Yes. Would you like to come play with mine?
Yeah, I know. Brian. We saw your photo, Mr. Pre-order at GameStop.
Damn it.
It's lovely. Game saves.
Yeah.
I've already, warped a couple of times in Mario. It's fantastic.
Hold on. Can you basically put it on standby in the middle of something?
Absolutely. It does it for you automatically. There's like little save states.
Halfway through your ice climbing, you can save and go play something else, come back and pick up where your ice climber left off.
Okay, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, really? Frick. Somebody get me one of these stat. I'll pay you. I'll give you the money. I just need one.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
we'll even throw in goodies, man. Yeah.
Right. I'll tell you, I forgot how uncomfortable the controllers were, though. These things are spot on. I put my thumb on it, and my thumb immediately started hurting. I was like,
oh. Oh, good. Memories. So they're authentic. Okay. That's
you
good.
You can use the Wii controllers with that, too, though, which are a little more rounded, but...
That's true. By the way, the best controller ever made might be the Super Nintendo controller, and I'm really hoping that at some point they do something like this, but with a SNES, like a little mini SNES. Yeah. Would be really nice. I would love that. Time will tell. But until then, we got this here question to do.
That's right.
Brian, your topic is Futurama.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You're a fan. You like it, right?
I like that show.
Okay.
Good. I didn't study up for it, though.
Oh, if we would have told you, you could have crammed.
Yeah.
Right.
Brian likes cramming. Here's your question. In the Futurama episode, A Pharaoh to Remember, Bender is named Pharaoh of Osiris 4 is the planet. He immediately orders the slaves to build a massive monument to his likeness. How many cubits tall did he demand it be built?
How many cubits tall did Bender request?
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Absolutely. I remember this episode. It was a fun episode, as usual. I believe Bender got very hammered, as usual.
Yeah.
And
he usually has alcohol in his chest or something, right? Isn't that the deal?
Right. Yeah. And he requested to be 69 cubits tall.
Ah, 69 cubits tall. We are going to take that number and ask Brian if it's correct. Is it correct, Brian Ibbitt?
69 cubits is incorrect.
Oh.
Major Dumperoo, is the correct answer higher or lower than 69 cubits?
And no pressure. $60. No pressure.
Oh, no pressure at all.
Oh, I know. And I've actually never seen Futurama. So this is just a pure 50-50 shot.
That's what makes it fun. That's what makes it fun.
$1.
Wow.
Did you guys know a cubit is the distance between your middle finger and your elbow? I'm totally stalling.
Is that true? Hold on.
Well,
is Google going really slow for you today?
Let's see.
That's a cubit, huh?
I was going to say, but is that the same average for everybody or is it different for everybody, right? A little bit? Should be.
Well, yeah.
A little bit, it varies.
I would think so.
So with that in mind, I am going to say that the answer is more than 69.
Higher than 69 cubits. All right.
Higher than 69.
All right. We're going to find out the only way I know how, which is to ask these judges who quietly stand by and tell me by nodding if it's correct or if it's incorrect. Is it more than 69? Pause for effect. And
congratulations.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
Winner.
Yeah. $60 is yours. In fact, it's so much higher. The answer is 1 billion cubits tall. That is approximately 284,090.9 miles.
Wow.
Now, was that billion or million?
Billion.
Billion with a B.
Billion. With a B.
Yes.
Yeah. A Brazilian.
Continue with their theme of the beast with a billion backs. Isn't that their movie?
Yeah. I love that one, by the way. That's a good one. People forget. You know what? When those first came out, people were worried they were too long or whatever. Mm-hmm. Go watch them now. They're great. Mm-hmm. They're super great. Yeah. I wish that show was still on the air. It's dumb that it's not. Demand more. Call your congressman. Make it happen. Thanks, Trump. All right. He demands that they build it to be a billion cubits tall. We have no clip for this. Oh, and by the way, thanks, Husky Caucasian, for today's question. He submitted that, which is very nice of him. Major Dumperoo, you are the winner of a $60 gift card courtesy of DAUV, and it is yours to have via the chat room. Brian will pass it on to you. Huge congratulations, man.
Yes,
well done.
That is awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Congrats, man.
Well done. Brian, you've done a great service today.
That was great. Yeah. I'm glad he won.
Yeah, I'm glad you came on. What do you got your holidays all worked out? What are you doing for fun? Anything cool?
Absolutely. I've got Thanksgiving plans for tomorrow. Going to eat a couple of turkeys. And then, as God is my witness,
right.
I thought turkeys could fly. We're going to drop turkeys from a helicopter.
What?
Into Don't you remember the episode of WKRP?
Yeah.
Oh, the humanity.
Oh, my gosh. Don't tempt me. That's on Hulu. I'll go watch it.
You should watch it. Yeah. It's so good.
Maybe I will. I was going to say, we don't have that many. I feel like there's a few movies, but how many television traditions do we have for Thanksgiving? Not many.
I have tons.
All right,
I have.
Give me some.
I'm catching all the Bob's Burgers, also on Netflix and Hulu.
Yeah, those are always good. Yep.
Great Thanksgiving episodes.
Yep.
I love going back and watching the Friends episode. Chandler had this horrible Thanksgiving every year, so that was always fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a great Mr. Bean where he's got a turkey on his head, or is that Christmas?
Nope. No, that's Christmas because he's British.
Oh, right. Well, they wouldn't have that over there, would they? There we go.
And I think it was a goose, but it doesn't matter. It's funny as hell.
It's funny as hell
either way. So watch
it. Big giant bird.
Yeah. Our tradition is pretty simple. It's planes, trains, and automobiles.
Yep.
It's football if we can manage it.
Mm-hmm. And are you guys offended by the the subtlety of the Cowboys versus Washington Redskins, Cowboys and Indians kind of football? Am I being too sensitive now?
No, I think that I mean, certainly those teams have met on the gridiron before.
Right.
But at some point in human history, I don't know when it's going to be, but at some point we're probably going to change that name. I know people are resistant to it, but the Redskins is one of the most racist names you can give anything. It's obvious. And the only reason people hold on to it is some weird tradition. Like, well, it's always been that. We can't change it now.
Now, like, see, the thing is, if this was still the 80s, I mean, they would have been advertising all week, you know, Cowboys versus Indians.
Oh, it would totally, dude.
Yeah.
Totally. And they wouldn't have cared. It would have been like, they would have gone all out with it, right? But now they don't do that. Instead, they just have to hold on to this for dear life. You know what it's like? It's like this. Imagine I go to church with my wiener out, okay?
Nice. Which you do.
And and when I get there, people sort of maybe don't notice, or they don't say anything, or it's no big deal. But as the time goes on, people are starting to get a little sensitive to the fact that my wiener's out. And they say, Scott, you know, you should probably not have your wiener out. And I say, I've been here an hour and a half. It's my tradition now to have my wiener out. It's already out. What are you going to do? We're not changing it now. My wiener's out. That's how the Redskins feel.
You should have said something when I first pulled my wiener out.
Right.
And now it's been out and the precedence has been set.
Exactly. So the wiener stays out.
I'm not going to lie. If I was in church and you came in with your wiener out, I would probably look over, think, surely that's not a wiener, look away, and not think about it, and then turn back around and go, maybe. And then, I would see, like, okay.
Maybe he's just sticking his thumb out of his pants.
Yeah, he's just messing with us.
Yeah,
I'm not looking at that.
Maybe. Don't have your wiener out of church, everybody.
I love your analogies.
They're pretty good. Brian Dunaway at the Brian Dunaway on Twitter. And it was very nice of you to substitute. We always like having you on. We should do it more often for other excuses. But is there anything you'd like to pimp or tell people about before you go?
Sure. ComicsCoastToCoast.com, a weekly podcast where we talk about webcomics, interview illustrators, animators, and the like.
Ooh, that sounds all right to me. Brian's laughing at something. What are you laughing at, Brian?
I'm laughing at a GIF in the chat room. Uh-oh. Sorry, distracting bunch of freaks.
Yeah,
I like it. Also, we're doing Judge Dredd this weekend on FilmSack.
Yes,
with you guys, I'm excited about.
Did you already watch it? You watched it, didn't you?
I watched it this past week. First time I'd ever seen it, and I will tell you, well, wait for the show.
Okay, all right.
Oh, tell us one thing. Give us a taste.
I don't want to. I will say that I liked it. How about that?
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, how was Rob Schneider?
Way better than I thought it was going
to
be.
Was Rob Schneider up to standards for you?
Schneider does everything but go as he's.
All right. Well, I'm watching that probably tonight, so I can get it done before the weekend. We talk to you guys, so we'll do that on Saturday, ladies and gentlemen.
Live.
Yes,
live.
That's true.
Coverville.
Nice. Coverville live on the Coverthon, 8:00 a.m. Mountain Time. Be here. It is Brian Dunaway. Take it easy. Have fun. Happy Thanksgiving. And may the wind be at your back.
I thought turkeys could fly.
Hold on. I need to mark when he said that so I can then excise that and use it for the future. All right. There you go. That's our game. That was fun. And what do we do now? I don't know. Probably the news.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by...
Big thanks to Kickstarter backers. You guys are awesome. I know that there's probably a lot of folks who are TMS listeners listening to the sound of my voice right now who backed Jazzness, the newest Andrew Allen Kickstarter album. So I want to take a second to thank you guys all for your support and getting that thing funded. We funded like 150%, which I think is the most we've ever funded for an Andrew Allen album. Like I said, you know, you can't find that NES classic console anywhere, but this one you can find right there on Kickstarter. You found it anyway.
Yep.
So we're going to have digital files next month, and CDs are going in production. Scott and I are working on our artwork for it. The t-shirts are coming. The USB drives are coming. Such great stuff. And big, big, big thanks to all of you who helped support that and make it happen.
Nice. Keep your eye on the prize, everybody. More details to come.
Yes.
Let's talk about pandas. You know, the bear-looking unit animals. You know the ones
in the World of Warcraft, right?
Sure.
But there's real pandas? Yeah, Those aren't just something that they made up?
Nope, they're real ones. They are at zoos, typically.
Are they real wargans?
They're No real goblins. Oh, by the way, I love the Harry Potter goblin played by Ron Perlman in that movie.
Oh, my God.
He was so great.
He was so Ron Perlman. It's almost like...
Oh, they totally face captured him for sure.
The guy's face is just made to be a beast of some sort.
Yep. And the way he kept making, expressions, little micro expressions and stuff, it was super good. That they really nailed it with that. Also, there's a real dick of a house elf behind the bar, but anyway.
Oh yeah. The singing elf though is amazing. Mm-hmm, like the mocap for that too. Yeah, so good.
Really top notch, top shelf, I'd say. Yeah. If I was British.
Mm-hmm.
Top shelf, yes. So this panda, there's a panda, and it was raised here in the States.
Okay.
And everyone thinks, oh, you should send it back to its homeland. It should go back to China.
China.
Where, that's where, apparently we're going to either, do we hate him? Do we love him? I don't know where Trump is.
We love China.
Okay. Do we love China? Does he love China?
I'm going to be eating turkey off of some tomorrow.
Oh, lovely. I picture a naked Chinaman on your table with turkey on it.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, a three-year-old giant panda, they're twins, actually, Mei Loon and Mei Huan, who were born in the Zoo Atlanta. Is that really what the Atlanta Zoo's called, is Zoo Atlanta?
No, I think it's called the Atlanta Zoo.
It says we're Zoo born Atlanta. At Zoo Atlanta in 2013 is what it says.
Maybe one of our Atlanta listeners can correct us about that. Is it really called Zoo Atlanta?
Zoo Atlanta. I don't know. We'll look that up. Anyway, they seem to be very homesick for the USA. The two pandas.
It totally is. I'm looking at a photo of the sign at the entrance.
It's Zoo Atlanta.
And it totally says Zoo Atlanta.
Well, that's dumb. They should change that.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Here's a link in the chat room if anyone wants to see it.
Let's take a look-see here. I want to see. Me want to see. Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Yeah.
Really?
Zoo Atlanta.
Guys, that's dumb.
There's just no reason for it. Every place else, right? It's the New York Zoo, the Los Angeles Zoo, the blah, blah, blah.
Hmm.
You put the city and then you put the what it is.
Zoo Atlanta.
It's the way it's always been done.
It's really weird. Well, anyway, the two pandas, which were first, were the first surviving giant panda twins ever born in the United States, were relocated to their new home in Chengdu Research Base, the giant panda breeding thing in China on November 5th, all right?
Okay.
The parents were loaned to the U.S. as part of China's panda diplomacy program. Really? Is that a thing?
They really should portmanteau that word and make it pandiplomacy.
Yeah, or dependa. No.
Dependency.
Dependency. Anyway, they do this as diplomatic gifts to strengthen international friendships, but the twins couldn't stay. The program requires that any pandas born in the U.S. be returned to China before they turn four. So that's what we did. I guess it's causing major culture shock. One of the reasons is, let's see, for one thing, they seem to be a language barrier between the pandas and their handlers, since the twins aren't familiar with Chinese. However, the pandas will react if the handlers use basic English commands, such as "come here," according to the Chinese news agency. They're refusing.
Well, of course. They're not surprising. It's like, but they're not saying, "Well, I'm sorry, no, we don't speak Chinese." It's just those are the things they've been hearing for the last 3 years.
For their entire lives. For their whole existence.
Oh, my God.
Also, they're refusing to eat local Chinese food, including steamed bread.
Well, I can't blame them from that either. Steamed bread sounds horrible.
What are we feeding them here, though? Were they eating like, what do you feed a panda?
Unsteamed bread.
What are they like? This isn't like Panda Express at all. This food's so different.
Why is this all soggy?
Well, anyway, I hope the best for the panda twins. May they ever live as twin pandas at the Zoo Atlanta. All right. Man without arms.
Okay. You're not skipping the...
I didn't mean to do that. No, this is a good one. Sorry, my screen flipped. A prostitute gives a lesson in respect to a man who tried to pay with a boiled egg. I wonder if it was shelled. We don't know. A man who has been left worse off after he groped a woman and then asked if he could pay for sex with a boiled egg. Moses Mushganda, age 28... Is that right?
Mashanga.
Not Moshganda.
No, you've got a lot of Mashangas if you think you're going to be able to pull this one off.
All right, but this next word's going to kill me. Age 28, approached the woman in Mvururi. M-V-U-R-W-I.
Right?
How would you say that?
That's exactly right.
Mvururi.
Mervui.
Mervui. Oh, I got close, actually.
Yeah. You always make these things so much harder than
in Mashonaland province, Zimbabwe, he fondled her breasts through her bra without permission before asking for sex in return for the egg, costing 1p each. It's a British deal.
Right.
However, she did not like this. According to local sources, she got revenge by hitting him with a beer bottle, although it says by hitting with a beer bottle and punching him in the face.
That's okay.
Again, no one can write on the internet anymore. What's going on?
Metro Co. UK.
Yeah, what the hell? He was floored by the punch and left with heavy bleeding from the head. Again, it's written weird. He was quoted in local media saying she could have just said no.
I think maybe the hitting with the beer bottle and the punch in the face wasn't for propositioning her with an egg.
Yeah. I feel like
probably the groping her breasts without permission part.
Yeah, part of this feels like they're burying the lead. But yeah. Anyway, the woman meanwhile said that she had acted the way she did because the man needed to be taught a lesson about respect. Respect your prostitutes, okay?
Exactly.
Give them the respect they deserve. I'm not
Billy Bush apparently has no comment on this.
No, he'll be fired though. He'll be fired.
No comment. I'm staying out of this one.
You know, I just want to. Can I say something about that just briefly?
Oh, dang it!
Just briefly. Nothing huge. I just want to make a comment that it is, if you just think about it for a second, it's kind of funny that for that video where Trump behaved very poorly and Billy Bush didn't say anything and just laughed, Billy Bush got fired from his job. Donald Trump got elected president. Think about that.
Yes, but...
Think about that.
To be clear...
Yeah.
Billy Bush got fired for that video. Donald Trump got elected in spite of that video, not because of that video.
Oh, I know. But there's still that weird, disconnect.
It's not an apples to apples kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm not saying it got him the presidency. Clearly not.
But yes.
But there are actually some who suggest it may have helped because people were like, oh yeah, well screw you. And we don't care if he's over here. So they got him in anyway.
Really?
It doesn't matter. Whatever. The point is, it's just a weird deal, man.
Yeah.
I bet Billy Bush is at home going, well, you can at least let me keep the job if you're going to elect him president.
Maybe he'll get put onto Trump's cabinet. I feel like, you know, that could be kind of a win-win that comes out of this, right?
Have another Bush in the White
House.
Billy
Bush is Secretary of...
Secretary of what? What would it be?
Of Yes Man. Of
Secretary
of the Entertainment.
Yeah. I like your ideas.
Yeah, what was he? Access Hollywood or Extra or what was he on?
Access Hollywood, I think.
Access Hollywood. He's Secretary of Hollywood Access.
And he's George W. Bush's cousin, right? Isn't that the deal?
Oh, is he really related?
Oh, yeah, they're related. That's the thing that makes it even worse is he's from the Bush family.
Oh, I really didn't. I thought he was just a stray Bush.
No.
I didn't think he was a... He's connected to the same root system.
Wow. Yeah, no, he's Billy Bush related. They go to Thanksgiving tomorrow, maybe with other Bushes. I don't know.
Yeah, I see you are Sidian confirms first cousins.
Huh. Yeah, first cousins. They hung out at like, I don't know. Did they run around the yard on get-togethers and stuff? I wonder.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. One of them said penis, and the other one laughed really hard, and then they fired him from the family. Here's a deal for you: a man without arms, and I mean literally, he doesn't have arms like the two arms he have normally. Was denied housing.
Thank you for clarifying.
I just didn't want to make it sound like a guy that didn't have guns or something.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. Yeah,
anyway, it was like,
you know how you normally have arms?
You know those arms you normally have?
Yeah.
Man without arms denied housing loan due to inability to provide fingerprints.
It's my favorite Men Without Hats cover band.
Oh, the Men Without Arms?
Men Without Arms.
Yeah, they were great. So
couldn't play any of their instruments, but they...
Well, they went on to start Housing Lone Do. That was a pretty good band as well.
Housing Lone Do.
Now, I'm not sure about their current band, Inability to Provide Fingerprints, but we'll hope they do the best they can. A housing loan application submitted by a man in Zhengzhou. I don't know how you say it.
I don't either.
In Henan Province was recently rejected, a not altogether unusual occurrence. However, what sets this man apart is the reason his loan was denied, because Wu Jianping has no arms.
Oh.
Creditors claimed they could not give him credit because he was unable to provide a fingerprint. Can you do a toe print? Aren't they Aren't those also like your fingers?
I imagine that those also would be unique.
I mean, that's
like a fingerprint,
it's,
right?
It's weird to watch someone do that, but that seems unique to me.
Sure.
You could just make a special clause that says,
listen, I've seen people play piano with their toes. They certainly could do a fingerprint. It's got to be unique. It totally has to be unique.
And what? Why not? I wonder if the stump for your arm, the thing that's left there, I wonder if that mm-hmm. provides any sort of unique stump print or something.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. It says here the 25-year-old Wu lost both of his arms after receiving a severe electric shock at the age of 5. He manages to write his signatures by holding a pen in his mouth. However, it was rejected by several banks when applying for a loan because he could not provide those fingerprints. Bank employees argued that without fingerprint, a mere signature would not be legally binding.
Here's the dumb thing.
Yeah.
What's the point of the fingerprint anyway? It's not like they have another fingerprint to compare it to say, okay, this is the right guy.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Well, here's their legal writing. It says fingerprinting is a common practice because signatures can be imitated, but there is no way to copy a fingerprint. One employee was quoted as saying by local media. Mm. I don't know, man. I think you ought to look at your paperwork there and maybe make a change to your stuff.
Yeah.
Not that you're going to get like 50 armless guys a day doing loans, but you know, maybe think ahead a little about these things. That guy, mm-hmm. I would call that a form of weird denial, discrimination, something.
Yeah, definitely discrimination.
It's not his freaking fault.
No, exactly. And let him do a toe print. It seems like that's the easiest solution to this one.
Yeah. Or is there another thing? It's probably another thing, like a DNA test or something.
Sure.
Those are real mm-hmm. or a thing.
China.
Those are China. Real.
I like China.
I like China.
Hi, China.
Hello, China.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Mike Morheim. Final story today. Albuquerque restaurant in the news.
All right.
Albuquerque restaurant.
Albuquerque.
Albuquerque restaurant, or Res Terrerant, relies on karma with pay what you feel. I don't know if this is going to work out. An Albuquerque cafe is relying on karma to keep it afloat by adopting a unique pay-as-you-feel policy, even if you don't like paying at all. David Wade McCullough, owner of the Karma Cafe, there you go, mm-hmm. Said he was inspired to found a restaurant by the philosophy of an eatery he encountered with a similar model in Australia. Hello, mate, pay what you want. The restaurant operated as a pay-as-you-feel model, he told a TV station. He applied the concept to a pop-up food stand, Food Karma, and 3 years later was able to transform the business into a full-size restaurant, partly because of a GoFundMe campaign. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. He said he found that most users are more than willing to pay fair prices. Quote, most are fair and honest and want to contribute, even if people are, say, homeless and of struggling. What? Even if people are, say, homeless of struggling.
I think that it supposed should be a comma in there. Even if people are, say, homeless or struggling.
Or it says of.
I know. Yeah, that's misuse of commas and typo.
Yeah, but big typo there. Yeah. Okay, so we'll read it as the way he should have said it. Even if people are, say, homeless or struggling, they still want to contribute or pay what they can. I wonder if this would work long term. Like,
I don't know.
People do it with art and stuff. Sometimes they,
let's say you're a chef.
Yeah.
You're a cook. You get hired by a restaurant.
Yeah.
And, they say, well, your wages are kind of going to be dependent on what people feel like when they come to our restaurant to eat. Are you okay with that? Are you okay? Like not really having an amount you can kind of count on, depend on your paycheck. I mean, it certainly is. Motivation for you to cook well and make delicious meals that mm-hmm. inspire them to pay prices or more. But
and don't put your restaurant within 500 miles of a high school, or you're screwed.
Oh yeah, no kidding.
You're screwed. Kids yeah. don't care. They don't care.
Right.
Feel like I've got a dollar today.
That's exactly. You just nailed it. That's exactly the attitude. So don't have it anywhere near an American high school. Second of all. You would have to, because of fair hiring practices, you'd have to hire somebody at a fair wage for whatever they were going to get paid. And then you, as the restaurateur, would have to just make sure there was always enough. Like, if there wasn't a lot that month, it's not like you can go to him and say, well, sorry, you're only getting 25% of what you usually get. Like, you just couldn't do it. So
right.
I would be, here's the thing. This is like this Zen thing. Like, come to our restaurant and only pay what you want. Aren't we all equal in the eyes of Buddha?
Little...
But that's fine. But I would stress out the whole time. I'd
yes,
be thinking,
exactly.
ah,
I couldn't do it.
What if this party of 60 doesn't want to pay more than 50 cents a piece? Ah.
You're going to get a bunch of people who go there who are totally honest and on the level and are like, you know, oh, this is such a cool thing. Of course, I'll pay actually a little bit more than I normally would, right? Yeah. I could see that happening.
I would just stress the
whole time.
But then
you'd also get the schlubs.
Yeah, I would just stress the entire time if I own that restaurant.
So they don't have a menu online. However,
right. Oh.
They do have a photograph. Okay, so their menu is a handwritten chalkboard sign on the wall.
Yep.
Apple pancakes, a large fluffy pancake with poached apples and maple syrup, breakfast burrito, artisan breakfast sandwich, country breakfast, breakfast hash. Just looking to kind of get an idea of like, let's say the masala chicken curry. Now, they don't have even a recommended price on here. So it's not like they can say, well, you know, it's $11.95, but pay whatever you feel.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you're served masala chicken curry, which sounds really good. Aromatic, spicy Indian chicken curry over jasmine rice sprinkled with fresh cilantro. Mm. How much would you pay, Scott?
Well, I would pay. See, now I'm starting to think what that costs. And it doesn't really cost very much. Like, if I'm thinking about ingredients now.
Materials.
And this is the position they've put me in.
What about labor?
Yeah, see, that's a tricky one. All right, I would go in there and I would probably pay $10 for that plus tip.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we're not seeing how big the portion is or anything like that, but
I'd probably pay $10. But I could also see somebody going in there and going, "Oh, that's like $5 worth of food."
Right. See, that's the thing. And the other problem is that you kind of want to say, "All right, how much would I pay for this at another restaurant?"
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's like you've got your kind of fast food Indian places or your deluxe Indian places.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know.
Tricky business, this karma business. I don't know if I'd recommend it. Good luck to them and all of the people that they live with. we're going to...
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Quick sponsor second. Come back in a second because we got music after this, so stay tuned. Oh, looky, 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 everybody. Me here, Scott, talking about a brand new awesome sponsor. And I love these guys, stayroasted.com. And for most of us, I think you can probably agree, top quality coffee is not something that we take lightly. It's something that we don't see as a luxury. It's a necessity. And exceptional coffee requires finding, well, let's be honest, exceptional beans. You don't got the good beans, you don't have the good coffee. That's why I like stayroasted.com so much. They deliver 100% specialty grade coffee beans hand selected to your taste, and then they deliver those fresh straight to you. It's simple. You just set some basic preferences on the site, let your roasters handle the rest. Your roasters. You heard me right. You basically have America's top craft coffee roasters for your personal roaster lineup. Your top roasters will match you with their finest beans and then deliver them fresh to you. Fresh. That's right. Fresh. Do you like fresh? I like fresh. Stay Roasted plans start at only 60 cents per brewed cup, and that's pretty good. There's no commitment long term. You just do it. And I want you guys to try it for yourself. StayRoasted.com/stream is the place to go. You get your first bag of coffee for free, and you only pay shipping. That's it. Shipping is all. StayRoasted.com/stream is where to go. And they also have gift cards available. Stay Roasted makes the perfect holiday gift, and you got time for that still. It's only November, for heaven's sakes. Get that Christmas business going. StayRoasted.com/stream and get your free bag of coffee today. Stay roasted. Stay frosty. I think time for music. Music's good. I like music a lot. When we come back, it's Recommendals and Tom's Tech Time. So we'll get to all that in a second. But in the meantime, independent music is one of my favorite things that we do here on the show. And Brian brought a little.
I did, and this one comes to us via a listener. It's time for a little electronic music. Scotty Too Hottie and Booker T, he opens.
Ooh.
If you guys were actual boxers or wrestlers, what would your come-out song be for when you walk down the ramp to get in the ring?
Mm. Is this a real question?
It's kind of like an Ask TMS disguised as a request.
I don't know. What would be
So like the, you know, introducing Scott Johnson. What did they start playing right then?
Bee Gees, Staying Alive.
Really?
Yep. That's my one.
Okay.
That'd be totally me.
That's I think for me it would be the that the Benny Hill Yakety Sax. And then I just run around the ring like.
I like that a lot. In your Hawaiian shirt and your goofy hat.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly what it would be. Right. The artist of the song we're about to play, Tim Gunter, went from crafting Vegas Megamix masterpieces to creating some of his own music. The song that he's requesting would be my own hype song for knocking someone's teeth out or giving a rock bottom.
Wow.
The artist is Tim Gunter, and he sent me a screenshot of their discussion on As Is the Way. Mm-hmm. I love it. A screenshot of them, their conversation on Facebook Messenger saying, can I have permission? And yeah, sure.
Nice.
The song is called First Breath. You can find it on Tim's SoundCloud, which is soundcloud.com/Tim Gunter. It's really cool. Here it is. It's First Breath by Tim Gunter.
I will personally rip your heart out of your ass and stuff it back down your throat.
Donald is very obviously shown here. I mean, look at his hairdo.
The Morning Stream. Computer, stop the flow of time.
All right, we're back. That was great. I want that whole album. So
good stuff. Tim Gunter and Begin Again. Or I'm sorry, First Breath is the name of that.
I'm totally going to check that out. That is my brand of trancey EDM style music-y stuff.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Really like it. All right. I know what time it is. Do you know what time it is? Because
I know what time it is.
Do you you know what time it is then?
What time is it?
It's Nicole time.
Yeah.
I'm going to add her to the call. She's now in our time zone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's not online. This could be bad.
Oh, no. Is she pulling a Duran?
She's pulling a Duran. I talked to him yesterday. He was in L.A. and forgot to tell us.
Oh, okay.
So it's fine. It's all good. You know, busy times, busy people, places to go, stuff to do.
Sure.
Let's see. Nope. No answer from her. That's a bummer. Let me try to add her one more time here. You know what? I'm going to pause and save. All right. Recording again and change of plans. We're adding Mr. Ace Detect Tom Merritt to the show.
Yay.
We're going to do him now and answer hard questions about it later.
Mm-hmm.
Except that didn't work for some reason.
Looks
like it is now. Now it's still didn't work. Well, this is great. Weird. Skype is weird. Oh, there he is. Tom Merritt. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, Tom.
Skype is weird. Thanks for being a friend, even though Skype is weird.
Yeah. Nicole, we couldn't get a hold of Nicole, so we moved you up a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, do I have to do recommendals now?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, well, actually,
what
you can.
What movie
if like.
Have you watched recently?
You certainly could. Well, here, let's play this first.
With the computer, as with any tool. The concept and direction must come from the man.
All right, give me a recommendation. That'd be awesome. Oh, that's loud. Sorry. What's Tom Merritt been listening to or watching?
Movie wise,
yeah, sure. Yeah,
or anything streaming, TV. Yeah.
Oh, sure. TV wise,
yeah.
The Crown.
Oh, tell us more about The Crown. What's
Absolutely.
The Crown?
Absolutely. I don't want to steal Nicole's bit.
Well, no, she's gone. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay.
She made her decision.
Yeah, she's just not
She
here.
Made her bed.
That's right.
Wow, it's kind of like in The Crown. Mm. It's a series based on the early days of Queen Elizabeth's reign. Mm. So it actually starts with King George VI still in office. And him sort of beginning to groom her to eventually take over, but then he gets sick. This is all history, so don't kill spoiler at me. He gets sick with cancer and dies, not suddenly, but faster than people were prepared for. Mm. And so the rest of the season, after like the second episode, is about Queen Elizabeth dealing with becoming queen, dealing with Winston Churchill, who is the prime minister at the time, and is kind of attempting to outmaneuver her on things, and dealing with her husband, the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip, who was sort of chafing under the role of being the husband of the queen rather than, a husband in a typical mid-20th century marriage.
I can see that. That sounds real. I love this kind of stuff, so I am all in on this, and I will absolutely watch it. I have a question, though. Does it feel like the Helen Mirren prequel, like the prequel to The Queen? Remember The Queen, that movie that came out?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In fact, I've been wanting to go back and rewatch that in light of this because that's sort of it's not even prequel, right? Like this is the Old Republic to the Helen Mirren's Empire Strikes Back.
Wow.
It's so far. I mean, she reigned for so long, and that Helen Mirren movie takes place in the Tony Blair years after she is talking about how I consulted with Winston Churchill back in the day, right? And she's got all this gravitas. Mm-hmm. This is in some ways very much a prequel because it's showing how she wasn't always that confident in her role, and it explores how she learned to become the very successful monarch, in my opinion, that she became.
And the I'm trying to see who plays her. Who plays her? Tina Brown? No. Who's who's the person?
Her name is Foy.
Okay. Let's see.
Katie Foy? Am I remembering that right?
Is this a BBC deal?
No, it's a Netflix deal.
Oh, I'm all up on this, man. Yeah. I'm in.
Clara Foy. Sorry.
Okay. And you really like it?
I do. Of course, I'm a sucker for anything British, to be honest. But I think it's really well done. And if you are a fan of intrigue and politics and that sort of thing. I think you'll like it anyway, even if you're not that interested in the British royal family. If you have any interest in the British royal family, though, you're going to be very interested in it. Another side plot is her younger sister, Princess Margaret, wanting to marry a member of staff, a group captain who is on the staff and, in fact, teaches Prince Philip to fly. And him being a divorcee is a big problem, because the whole reason Elizabeth becomes queen is because her uncle, Edward VIII, abdicated because he wanted to marry an American divorcee. And under the rules of the Church of England, you could not be the King of England and marry a divorcee unless that divorcee's original husband had died and hers hadn't.
I love all these weird rules they have for that stuff. Mm-hmm. Monarchy rules are the best. Well, all right, I'm in. You've convinced me. And I'll do a little, perhaps a little watching this weekend. That sounds great.
I binged it last weekend when Eileen was up in San Jose because my sister-in-law, had a baby, which is fantastic.
Congratulations.
And of course, when Eileen was waiting around, taking care of the dog, doing things, she started binging on it. So we were binging it in parallel in different cities. It was really fun.
Whoa, weird. And lots of car chases and gunfights and stuff in this movie?
Not yet. No, we haven't got to the Diana stuff.
Okay. You have to wait till Helen Mirren makes a movie.
Yeah.
Well, excellent. Now we can do your real segment, which is all about technology. We appreciate you coming in a little bit early. Tom Merritt, of course, the host of the Daily Tech News Show, a show that happens, well, all the time, really. And today is another example of that. I'll be on today, in fact. It's the last official pre-Thanksgiving episode of DTNS.
That's correct.
I have to imagine on the eve of a big American holiday and sort of the big electronic shopping season that Friday often represents, there's probably not a lot of new tech stuff, but what is going on right now?
Well, it's interesting. You're right. There's not the normal flow of press releases, especially from the U.S. companies. But don't forget, the majority of the world doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving. This is not a worldwide holiday. So you still have lots of stuff going on. We have some interesting things going on in Indonesia. There was an announcement at the Tech in Asia Jakarta conference that a company called DataBot is going to partner with GE Digital to help them reduce blackouts at the power plants that GE operates there. Essentially, it's taking Internet of Things in the enterprise and improving it. So what DataBot says is, we can do data analysis at a level that will take the same information you're getting from your power plant sensors now and give you 10 days notice when a blackout is possible versus the 3 hours notice that GE gets now.
Is it wrong that I hear the name DataBot and I immediately don't trust the name?
Seriously though, right? Yeah, I mean, right. This is a very serious company doing very serious things, and they're involved in the Internet of Things in lots of different ways. It's not just the GE partnership, but it's that crazy thing. And I think us olds have it more than younger folks, where we hear silly names, and if they're doing something serious, it causes a little cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, it just sounds like, ooh, have you heard of the underground hacker Chinese organization called DataBot? They're going to get us. If Mr. Robot isn't careful, he'll be exposed.
How stupid is the name Google, though?
Yeah, it's super stupid.
If you're not used to it.
Oh, it's super dumb. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We were young enough when that came along that we just accommodated it.
Yeah.
Oh, Twitter.
The heady days of 1998.
Facebook. I mean, think about it. The titans of industry of yesteryear were, American Telephone and Telegraph, International Business Machines, Hewlett-Packard. And now today it's Google and Facebook and Amazon.
Yes. What will happen to Yahoo?
The most sensible one of them is Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, again, isn't all, if you think about it, at the core, that's pretty funny, isn't all that sensible. All right. Well, you made a good point. DataBot, bring it on.
I think honestly, I'm right there with you, because when I was writing the story, I'm like, really, DataBot? Like, it just sounds... It sounds like a little app that I would get.
Yeah, DataBot. Get it today. It'll help you track your data and play with robots, I guess, or something.
There's also raids going on in South Korea against Samsung. It's tied into this whole big controversy with the president of South Korea right now. She's in huge trouble for having an advisor who has ties to this shadowy cult. And they're saying that this person had way more influence over her and was in the Blue House, which is what the presidential palace in South Korea is called, too often. I know, it sounds like an alternate universe thing, right?
Right.
The upside down.
But it literally is a blue palace, right? So That's what they call it. And so they're rating Samsung, but they're not rating Samsung because they want to punish Samsung so much as one. They want to find evidence that President Park Chung-hee was influencing, was pressuring Samsung to go along with her cultural and sports efforts to build foundations, and that Samsung wasn't going to get a merger they wanted and was going to get audited for their taxes if they didn't go along with it.
Oh, weird. That is some political intrigue right there.
Right.
Geez, if only we had an analog to discuss about people bringing in people with dubious connections to outside organizations. if only we had a comparative narrative here in the States. I just don't think we do.
Oh, in the States. I thought you were talking about the Empire. Oh. I was immediately thinking of Darth Vader.
Actually, yours is the better point. All right. Well, this is all stuff I like, so I'm excited to be on today. We'll talk about this and a bunch more stuff a little bit later today on the Daily Tech News Show. Of course, DailyTechNewsShow.com.
Did you get my message, by the way? I know, like, on the air on the morning stream isn't the best part to plan the show, but I was thinking we would do Tech We're Thankful For on the show
today. Oh, I didn't see that, but absolutely. You put it in the Slack and I didn't see
that.
Yeah,
I did.
I love that. I love that idea. That's a great topic. It's just like being around the table at my family, extended family game Thanksgiving, where we all talk about what we're thankful for, except this is stuff I like. So this will be awesome.
So Roger's got one regarding YouTube videos and his daughter. And I will actually use it as a cheap opportunity to talk about the new MacBook Pro that I've been using for a week. And so, yeah, if you got something, I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
How are you liking your Touch Bar, by the way?
Oh, yeah. What do you think of the Touch Bar?
Yeah, here's a little tease to my preview from later today. It's irrelevant.
That word is
charged, and I probably should come up with a better one. I don't mean that as a slam on it. Mm-hmm. I use it when I need to press the escape key. Mm-hmm. I've used it a few times to put emojis into something, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
But most of the time, I don't even notice it's there.
Do you like audio editing on that? You do it on probably a desktop machine, right?
I do. I do some audio editing on that laptop. And I'm looking at the screen. This is the problem with the Touch Bar. When I'm looking at the screen, I don't want to look down to the Touch Bar to do something. I want to use the mouse that's up there that I'm used to using. Some of it is just, you know, I'm stuck in my ways. I get that. But it is not bad. It doesn't take away from the experience in any way.
It's like it's a little superfluous. Like, it's like having an extra thumb. It's kind of cool that you got one, but
yeah, right.
Compare it to the
row of F keys you have now. Mm-hmm. It's nicer because it, like I said, like, oh, it's got some emojis. I can use that. Mm-hmm. I've used it a couple of other times for different things. And I love Touch ID for being able to log in to the laptop. But so it's better than the row of function keys, but it's not like revolutionizing.
It's not changing the world, right? Yeah. That's kind of my impression as well from what I've heard from people.
Turkey Gosa in the chat room says third nipple, I would say more useful than
others. Yeah, I'd say so too.
Put that on the box.
On the range.
Yeah. Mine's in a very inconvenient place, but we'll get into that a different episode.
Yeah, that's a whole different show.
Anyway, that's later today. DailyTechNewsShow.com. Of course, you can see it live, 2:30 Mountain Time. Over there at diamondclub.tv. Check us out. Tom Merritt, anything else you'd like to mention, sir?
I would like to mention, first of all, that I am not FrogFan23426, who is saying, make Tom's segment longer. And someone said, duly noted, Mr. Merritt.
Yeah.
Mr. Gunstick said, duly noted, Mrs. Merritt.
Mrs. Merritt.
Oh, maybe it is my mom. I don't know.
Could be. Yeah.
But I would also like to mention that I've been doing top five videos. For a long time, I've been doing five apps videos for Tech Republic, and now I'm just doing wider top five. So top five travel tech, top five ethical hacking reasons hacking is good, all kinds of things like that. So you might want to check that out, techrepublic.com. Just look at their videos, there are some schemes in the work to turn that into a podcast as well. So keep an eye out for that.
Oh, very nice. Well, Tom's a handsome bastard. You get to see him on video. Check that out. Tom Merritt.
My mom was married when she had me.
Good point. Have a glorious Thanksgiving holiday. And
you too.
We will see you a little bit later today.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye now. Yeah. Oh, can't hang up.
Wait. Nope.
Bye.
You won't hang up.
There we go. Okay. There we go. All right. Hey, we're done. That's the show.
No, it's not. We got Nicole now.
Oh, we have Nicole?
Yeah, she's back.
Oh, all right. Where is Nicole?
She forgot that it was Wednesday.
Oh, well then, has she seen a thing? Maybe she's seen a thing. Who knows?
I think she's seen a thing. Hopefully she's seen a thing.
She's busy making rad food for the Spagnolo table dinner table.
Here. Maybe.
Here
yes.
you go.
Oh,
Nicole. My sweet Nicole. Nicole Spagnolo joining us after Mark. Or not Mark. I looked at Mark and thought of Mark. After Tom is what I meant to say. Hey, what's going on? How are you? What's going on?
I totally forgot it was Wednesday. Steve was talking to Brian this morning. I'm like, oh, hey, yeah, what's up?
And, right.
It's all
right,
good. You never know.
You never know. Join us?
Yeah, you never know. It's a hard thing to remember. It's a holiday week. It's screwing everybody up.
Yes,
it's totally fine.
It is. It's totally messing us all up.
Yeah, I barely know what's going on, to be honest. So do not worry about it.
No makeup, I'm a mess, so there
fine.
You go.
I just saw Mark's profile. You know what I like about Mark right now is he's getting real salt and peppery, and I think that's a good look for him.
Yeah, he's a mountain man.
I think it's kind of badass. I like that a lot. Anyway, hey, it's Recommendals. Time for us to recommend stuff. We actually had a theme this week, and the theme was family movies.
Family movies.
And we're going to bring it around the table here and find out who got what. I'm just going to say already, I've already told Brian, I'll spring it on you, Nicole. I had no time to watch anything this week. I've just not seen anything.
Right. Here's my surprised face.
Yeah, you should be shocked, Brian. Well, I usually see something, but it's usually just out of the category.
Right.
This one, all I saw this week was Film Sack, which, you know, is work. Mm-hmm. And then...
What was the movie?
Episode of Westworld. We did... what did we do, Brian?
Saturday Night... No, not Saturday Night Fever. What was the one after?
What did we just do? Shit, was that forgettable? Oh, Rising Sun. Rising Sun.
Rising Sun, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a family movie.
Yeah, not a family movie at all, it turns out. Unless your family's really into nipple sake. Anyway. So...
my favorite manufacturer of motorcycles.
Nipple sake. Oh, they're so fast.
What is nipple sake?
It's a scene where somebody's dipping nipples in sake.
Drinking sake off a nipple.
Yeah.
Exactly how it sounds.
Definitely not
exactly
for kids.
How it sounds.
Not for kids. It's barely for adults. It's just weird.
No.
Anyway, so let's start with Brian. Brian, I got a little clip here from you. Any setup for this, sir?
This is a movie from 2013. It got an Oscar nomination for Best Song, for Best Original Song. And you're going to be hearing Mark Ruffalo talking to Keira Knightley in this clip.
Oh, I like the little heads up on who we're hearing. Here we go. Mm-hmm. All right, and play it.
Your song's good. It's you. And standing up there like a tomboy. And I don't mean to be offensive, but don't you think that looks a little passe?
Really?
Seriously. We get you a look and a killer video, and you go straight to the top. I'm thinking Norah Jones, singer-songwriter thing at a piano, or the Cardigans. Back in the day when they first came to America. Maybe even Deborah Harry. A male band behind you. What? You find that amusing?
No, I'm sorry. Something went down the wrong way. What? Sorry? No, you were saying me with a cardigan on, Norah Jones?
I have no idea what that is.
So that was Keira Knightley, right?
Yeah.
That was Keira Knightley.
Yeah. And Hulk. It's what's his name? Ruffalo.
That's right.
But I'm trying to think. So it's something with music.
Uh-huh.
He's American.
Correct.
She stays British in this.
She stays British.
Pirates of the Caribbean 1.
It is not, but that's such a great guess.
Oh.
This is a movie called Begin Again.
Oh, wow.
And this was written by John Carney, who also wrote Once, the film, you know, with Swell Season, Falling Slowly, the song Falling Slowly and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Another best song. I think that one actually won for best song in the Oscars a few years ago. Mm. But this is about a recently unemployed record label executive played by Mark Ruffalo, who discovers Keira Knightley performing in a bar and says, oh, you've got, you know, you would be great. Let's make an album together. Mm-hmm. And he can't get his former label on board. So he decides he's just going to take it upon himself to produce her album all around New York. It's got a great cast. So in addition to Ruffalo and Knightley, you've got Catherine Keener, who I always really like. Mm-hmm. You've got CeeLo Green and Adam Levine for some reason. I guess is partially sponsored by The Voice. You've got James Corden, who's hilarious in it.
He's the guy that took over for
Carpool Karaoke guy.
Yeah. I like
him. And he's really good in it. Haley Steinfeld. It's a really, really good film. It's really cute. It's streaming on Netflix, appropriate for the whole family. There's a few F-bombs and that's it. You know, no nudity, no bad behavior, anything like that. It's a very kind of sweet, heartwarming.
No alcohol nipples?
No alcohol nipples.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's if you saw once and you liked the movie once, this is right up the same alley. And that was a really good film too, if you haven't seen that.
That director's last name is Carney?
Carney. Yeah. John
Carney.
I mean,
his entire life, people call him a Carney. That's a bummer.
It's spelled like Art Carney, like the not Carney, C-A-R-N-I-E.
Yeah. I don't know. Just makes him sound like a weird old weirdo that runs the Tilt-A-Whirl down at the carnival. Anyway.
Now, there was a little bit of controversy with this film because this year, Carney released a movie called Sing Street, which is like a... takes place in the 80s. It's a bunch of teenagers who want to form a new wave band. And they asked, you know, they were doing interviews on, oh, what was the experience like doing Sing Street? And he said, it's a small personal movie with no Keira Knightley's in it. It's really rewarding.
That's hilarious. Wow.
Yeah.
Is she not easy to work with or something? Or do we?
He apparently, there were some disagreements or differences of opinion they must have had during the filming of Begin Again. Mm. He recently apologized and said that she was nothing but professional and dedicated during the filming of Begin Again. But,
sure. That's why you said that other thing in the first place. I'm sure
right,
that's
yeah.
all right.
There was another thing where he said, I'll never make a film with supermodels again, implying that Keira Knightley was a model mm-hmm. originally before she was an actress. Yeah.
Was she?
I don't think so.
I thought she was. Wasn't she a model? I thought she was. I don't know about supermodel, but she was like a model, I think.
And then he also said, I just think with Keira in it, it was like asking her to do something that she could not do.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh.
But you liked the movie.
I liked it. And I thought she did a great job. You know, she sings in it and, Mark Ruffalo is fantastic in it. I mean, he's the best part of any of these films.
Career beginnings for Keira Knightley. Let's see. She was a, I don't know. You know what? There was no modeling. Yeah. He made a weird assumption about her.
I guess so. Or maybe more implying that, you know, that she's more of a model than an actress.
Yeah.
You put her in your film because she's attractive rather than she can act, I guess. I don't know.
I think she's great. I like her in lots of stuff.
Yeah, I like her too.
Yeah, she's good. What's your take on Keira Knightley there, Nicole's bag, Nolo?
I like her.
Good. Mm-hmm. Look, all three likes. Three likes, mm-hmm. No dislikes.
She does. She's a great actress. I don't know what she's like in real life, but
yeah, she might be a real pill.
She's a very good actress if she's
good in those Pirates of the Caribbean films.
Well, all two of them.
And that Beckham film.
She was in like two. Yeah, she bended it like Beckham in there.
That's right. Do you always find it interesting when people are like, oh, that person, I met that person in public and they're such a jerk. I'm like, they're an actor. Yeah. So you're going to.
No, people's expectations of who they think people are like based on characters. I have no patience for that. It's like, no, if you go into this thinking that Harrison Ford is Han Solo, you're insane.
Right.
Like, don't behave that way. Now, once in a while, you'll find out, like, I heard an interview with Michael Shannon the other day. That guy plays nothing but psychopaths and mean people. Right. And he is the sweetest sounding guy in real life. Like the opposite happens. You think he's going to be a total douche and he's not. That's just the way it is. They're all make-believe, everybody. Make-believe.
That's the thing. I'm like, they're really good at their jobs.
Yeah, they do a good job. I still don't want to have Johnny Depp in all those movies. Anyway, Nicole, let's throw it over to you. What?
Talk about the Harry Potter movie?
Yeah, we just watched it last night. I loved it. I loved it.
Dare I say, I think I liked that more than the actual Harry Potter movies.
I think I liked it as much. I don't know that I liked it more as my, I mean, my favorite one was 5 because my favorite book is 5. Mm-hmm. It's same director too, which is nice. But I think 5, I'd put 5 in this together.
Mm. I don't know. I
really liked it. It was awesome.
I loved it. Yeah. I loved it.
I'm glad they're doing 4
more.
See
with Brian.
Yes. Yeah, that's pretty cool. You guys,
and
you bums.
You're good movie people. We're always worried because, you know, we go to movies with somebody we've never met before or not met. We've never gone to a movie with before and they talk through the whole thing or they elbow me or,
mm-hmm. No way.
Not going to name any names.
We've had some. Listen, Nicole, she's had some good Nerdtacular movie experience, and we've known for a while how good she can be in a film. So good job. You've not disappointed Brian.
For sure. So you've passed the movie theater with Brian and Tina test.
Yeah, that's good.
I will say this. I thought it was really cute. I kind of looked over at Brian and Tina, and they were holding hands.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, always.
That's adorable.
I should probably hold my husband's hand.
Well, all right. That is kind of, I do that because she tends to kind of hog the popcorn. And if I can keep one of her hands busy.
Yeah. I didn't say no more.
Mark ate popcorn, and he had Reese's Pieces. I'm like, dude.
Oh, man. Oh, Reese's Pieces sound good right now. All right, Nicole, lay it on us. What'd you got? Right. What'd you do?
I have two really good clips, and I'm trying to decide. This is not only a family movie, it's a holiday movie. Oh, so it's perfect. So I'm going to play you the one with the song.
Okay.
All right, here you go. World apart, you're always in my heart, always in my heart. When you look up at the stars, look up at the stars, from afar, afar, afar. Looking down like a shining star, dancing free with my guitar, my guitar.
That's horrifying. That is horrible.
A Kylie Minogue story. No.
What is that?
Any clues?
No. I have no idea.
Here, let me play this other clip then.
All right. All right.
Hello.
Jamie. Hey.
What's up?
Listen, you're never going to believe this, but I can't get a flight out. I'm stuck here another day.
Oh.
I want to apologize for earlier. Let me make it up to you.
Good.
Do you want to go ice skating?
I thought you hated ice skating.
I used to, but you know, I'm actually pretty damn good now. I'm the MVP in my league, in fact. Come on, be like old times.
Hello, Joyce?
Mom, I'm on the phone.
Well, Chris, what are you doing over at Joyce's?
No, Mom. I'm in the living room 10 feet away from you, and I'm on the phone.
Oh, well, you know, I was wondering, while I have you on the phone, what would you like for dinner? We have a choice between chicken chow mein or pot roast.
So there you go.
So that's obviously that's Deadpool.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds.
Was that Haggerty? Julie Haggerty is the mom, I'm guessing?
And Anna Faris was the one that was singing in the first.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Wow, I still have no idea.
Yeah. Hey, okay, this is Just Friends. Okay. Streaming on Netflix.
All right.
Amy Smart, Ryan Reynolds, Anna Faris. So Amy Smart and Ryan Reynolds are best friends in high school. Starts out, I think, in 1987. Ryan Reynolds is he's overweight, but he's best friends with Amy Smart's character, and he loves her. And he then goes off to L.A. and becomes a big shot producer in the music industry. And something Anna Faris does derails the makes the plane land, and he's at his hometown for the holidays, and he sees Amy Smart again, and he's this successful guy. It's just hilarious, romantic comedy around Christmas time. It's so funny. It's streaming.
Interesting. It sounds all right. I've never heard of it.
It's so cute and funny, and I love it.
I'm a big Amy Smart fan. She's I don't know. If I was in high school, she'd be in like the dream date of all time ever.
Oh, who is it?
Would you have made a YouTube video asking her to prom, Scott?
I might have done it.
Chris Klein is in it as well.
Oh, I like Chris Klein.
American Pie, yeah.
Yeah, I like him.
Oh, Stephen Root?
Oh, I love Stephen Root. He's in everything.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what's great about Stephen Root? He was in, the J. Edgar Hoover movie as one of J. Edgar Hoover's technical dudes that was doing like spying for him. And then later in the LBJ movie that was on HBO, he played J. Edgar Hoover himself. I think that's kind of cool.
Oh, really?
Weird. Yeah.
Right. Went from J. Your audio just got all janky. Is it just me? Or?
It's because I invoked the FBI, and I think now we're in trouble.
You mentioned J. Edgar Hoover.
That's weird. I didn't hear it. It must have been me. Well, all right then. That sounds like a fine film.
Funny.
Netflix, you say? Is that where it is?
Netflix, Yeah, and there's a lot of singing. So even Chris Klein sings the song to Amy Smart. Oh, God, and really? They're so bad. These songs are so bad. I love them.
All right. Well,
definitely recommend.
That sounds all right to me. Are there, I mean, we're all going to watch, you know, Planes, Trains is a thing we always watch here. And probably,
is it streaming still?
I want to say Netflix has it this time. Although last year it was somebody else, but I think Netflix has it this year.
What? You don't own it already? Come on.
Oh, I do somewhere. But yeah, if people are looking to stream it, I'm pretty sure Netflix is streaming it. I've got that thing on like three different DVDs because I thought I lost the other two. And now I have them all because that's one of the best movies ever made. All right. There you go. I don't have one because I'm lame. And that's just the way it is. But I'll have something next time. Don't worry, everybody. Calm yourselves. I'll have one for next week. Do we want to do another theme? We had a guy email in and go, quit doing the themes. They're stupid. Scott never does them. Plus, they're dumb. Nobody cares about a prop and a thing. It's dumb. Quit doing it. And I didn't know what to say to that guy. But I like doing themes. So screw you. We're doing a theme.
Give us this. Hey, I got a. Here's a family movie for you. Okay. That's streaming on Netflix. What About Bob?
Oh, that's a good movie.
Oh, yeah. Tina won't watch that. She hates that movie.
Really?
Really?
Yes. She hates the fact that everybody likes Bob except for Richard Dreyfuss because she's Richard Dreyfuss in this movie. She's absolutely irritated and would absolutely do everything she could to get away from Bill Murray. Yeah. And she doesn't see why everybody loves him. And it infuriates her, that movie. It's funny to watch.
I love that she has that particular relationship with that film. I think that's awesome.
Whenever we talk about bad films or films she doesn't like, that is the first one she brings up.
Really? What About Bob?
What About Bob?
All right. Yeah, there's another good one. There's plenty of good ones out there, folks. There's one lot. Just needs to look.
Yeah.
What do you want to do next week? What's our thing?
Do you have your game handy, Nicole?
No. I don't want to piss anybody off.
No. Listen, one guy wrote in.
That's so, one person.
Yeah. But we could still do general theme, too, if we don't have the game handy. Mm-hmm. We could say, all right, I got one.
Okay.
It needs to be.
We can pick an actor.
Or one word title.
Yeah. Actually, I like the actor idea.
Okay. Actor.
Rachel McAdams.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Rachel. Yeah,
that makes it so easy to search on.
It's like you had Netflix. That right there.
You had Rachel McAdams in your pocket.
I obsess about her constantly and only had to say her name. No, I just thought of her because I saw her in an episode of Scrubbed last night and she was really funny.
Oh, cool.
So Rachel McAdams is the answer. We're all looking for
Dr. Strange.
Yeah. Oh, she was great in that. Mm-hmm. And isn't she some kind of character maybe that we sometime get in the future? Isn't that the deal?
Night Nurse? It's not a spoiler to say that she's potentially Night Nurse.
Okay.
Do you think it's in the previews that she's a nurse? So
do you think they're gonna do that?
Possibly. I mean, they gave her the character name of one of the Night Nurses. So okay.
All right.
Of one of the women in the Marvel Universe who becomes Night Nurse. So
sounds all right. I think I could go for that. All right. There you have it. Oh, I forgot Amy Smart was in the Crank movies.
Ugh. Yes.
Mm. Those movies, dude.
Crank.
Interesting scenes.
Yeah, very interesting. All right. That's probably going to do it. Nicole Spag, everybody. She'll put these recommendals on her Twitter account, of course. Yep. And always a pleasure to talk to you. Have a great Thanksgiving. You guys have big plans? You got it all worked out there in Colorado?
We're making some food and trying to still unpack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
What? You're not done?
Jeez. Oh,
we did this. Slackers. We did this when we moved. We moved right. We moved the weekend before BlizzCon. Then it was BlizzCon. Then it was like trying to sort of settle in and get everything done. Then it was Thanksgiving. Like it just felt like nonstop that year. So I totally know.
So you're unpacking and you're like, well, maybe we should just decorate for Christmas. Mm-hmm. So we're like, okay, well, then what do we do with this stuff? Mm-hmm. I guess we just pack it away again.
Yep. Yeah, just keep it all out. Who cares? Live like kings.
Hobos.
Hobos. Have a good one. We'll talk to you soon. Bye now.
See ya.
All right. Now, Brian, we're done.
Now we're done. We have completed.
Frogpants.com/TMS for everything. I don't need to tell them all the details. I really don't. Except I would say this. If you want to support us, patreon.com/TMS. It is a great way to support the show. And many people have. And we have lots of cool giveaways. Don't forget the store this weekend. Frogpants.com/store. We'll have all kinds of deals, including the Gobble Gobble code for 15% off any print in the store, along with some other select sales. So check that out.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble. Hee, hee, hee. All right, Brian, we should be done. Let's get out with music. Do you have some?
Sure. And just a quick reminder for your TMS fix. Don't forget to listen to the Coverthon on Friday. We'll be doing a live TMS PM at, I'm pulling it up right now, 3 p.m. Mountain Time.
3 p.m. Mountain, that's right.
Totally Coverville.com/live. And yes. if you want to take a look at the whole schedule, it's at Coverville.com/Coverthon.
Nice.
And you can see everything that's going to be on there. Well, not everything, because there's some stuff I'm adding to it. Tom and I are going to do something at some point during the deal. That's another great. Tom and Brian explain it all or something. Mm,
the Tom and Brian experience.
That's right. Exactly.
All right.
All right. This request is going out to Stee. I believe it's just Stee. Dearest Turtle Butt and Vegas Man. Excelsior.
Turtle Butt.
Turtle Butt. I guess it's you.
I guess so.
Today marks the birthday of my wife, Christy, and last week was our second Coloradoversary, so I'd like to request a song to celebrate. 2 years ago, we packed our bags and left the UK to start a life in our new home in Lakewood, Colorado. Time has flown by as we try to eat, drink, hike, and snowboard through everything Colorado has to offer. TMS has been a faithful companion on our daily commutes, and I know hearing her name will make Christy freak out in a good way. She plays the violin and cello, so anything with some strings would be great. Bonus points for an acoustic guitar, my instrument of choice. I believe in you, Brian. Signed, Stee.
It's an interesting name. So, Stee is a weird name.
Stee is a weird name. It's probably short for something, though, right? Like
Stephanie or Stella.
Well, it's a guy. It's
Steve. Steinway.
Right. Sure.
Stipple butt.
Well, we probably should stop there.
Yeah.
this is the first song that came to mind when I thought of songs that had notable string sections in them. The song begins with it, both in its original version and in like 90% of the covers that are out there. I could not find a version that I had that had acoustic guitar, so you'll just have to strum yours along with it, but it's a sweet dedication to Christy. Hope you guys both enjoy it. This is the band Murder by Death from their 2013 album, or their 2013 project, As You Wish, which they funded using Kickstarter. You can find that on Bandcamp. The Murder by Death and their all these covers. This is their cover of INXS's Never Tear Us Apart. Here's Murder by Death.
Oh, crap. I pulled the wrong one over. Hold on.
Oh, sorry. No. Did I give you the wrong?
No, I'm being dumb. Okay, there it is.
Hop. Don't ask me what you know is true. Don't have to tell you I love your precious heart. I was standing, you were there. Two worlds collided and they could never tear us apart. We could live for a thousand years, but if I hurt you, I'd make wine from your tears. If I told you that we could fly, 'cause we all have wings, but some of us don't know why. I was standing, you were there. Two worlds collided
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Aren't you going to ask me what I'm wearing?
No.
No?
No.